Good evening. You're listening to Going Global for Spirit with Elaine Ireland on BBSRadio.com. We are the number one worldwide internet talk radio network on the planet. Try saying that three times fast. In a moment, I'll give you two different phone numbers. One is worldwide. That means if you live any place in the world except the United States and Canada, I have a separate number for them. Please listen to us all evening. It's an uninterrupted hour, and this evening I have Michelle Avante back with me. She was here in June. Welcome, Michelle.
It's so great to be back.
We had a great time when she was here before. We were talking then about Grihi, the Journey of Five Tales of Tamur, Book One, a wonderful little dragon story. Wonderful. But this time, we're going to dig a little deeper into Michelle's basket of knowledge, and we're going to talk about archetypes. Archetypes, that wonderful energy that hides from us sometimes, I understand. Tell me about archetypes.
Oh, you know, before you come into a physical body, there are many options as to what type of consciousness you might decide to take on. And the way the hierarchy set this universe up that we play in, they set a certain, it's almost like the Dewey Decimal System. It has a number of different archetypes that are aligned over the numbers 1 through 9. And they are a basis for the types of consciousness the individual might choose to work with. Each one of those numbers will relate to different states of talents and different challenges that we may have when we come in. So before you come into a physical body, you get to choose what kind of energy you want to work with, what kind of consciousness you want to work with. And a lot of us, you know, we go through many lifetimes working with particular types of consciousness, and then we move on to another one. So it's you may have had the same one for several lifetimes, so you may be somewhat embedded in it. At any rate, by learning what your archetype is and getting kind of a handle on it, and also to learn how to do the archetypes for those who are around you that you love or interface with, you're able to better understand and honor the differences that we each have, honor what the challenges each of us have, and what our talents are. So I think it's one of the most easily learned and most powerful things you can possibly gain. So, I love archetypes.
It's done with astrology.
Excuse me, how does it work with astrology?
Is that how, did I understand you right when you said it's based on astrology or when you're born?
It's based on the date of birth, but it's not really anything to do with astrology. It's not relating to the planets. There may be some energy there that I am unaware of and that no one's actually sat down and pulled out yet. Because everything is so interrelated, I don't doubt that at all. But that's not where I take it. When we look at the archetypes, we look at the date that the person is born. And for some reason, when we take and we synthesize that number down, the date includes the month, the day, and the year. When we take all of those numbers and we add them up, we will come up with either a single digit or what is called a master number, which is a double digit. It's a double digit of the same digit, for example, like 11, 22, 33, 44. So when we take a look at that, we learn a lot about who we are.
So it sounds like it's associated with numerology a little bit.
I'd say it's more along the lines of numerology. It is connected to the mysticism of the Kabbalah, in that in the Tree of Life you have 22 numbers, and the 22 numbers relate to the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. But when we do the archetypes, we don't take them all the way to 22. We only do the first 9. And when you, if you study the Kabbalah or you study one of the oracles that has come out of the Kabbalah, which is the Tarot, you will learn that the 22 is always based on the originating 9 anyway. All numbers come back to
the line. Say that again.
Okay, what I'm saying is all numbers will come back to the first 9, even in the Tarot.
Okay, all right. Okay. let me give folks these numbers, because I'm expecting that we'll have some calls on this tonight, so I want them to have the numbers early. Worldwide, remember that's any place except the United States and Canada. Your number is 877-489-6350. If you live in the United States or Canada, you share a number, 1-888-228-4494. Okay, Michelle, tell me the difference between, why are they called archetypes? Why is this energy called an archetype?
They're called archetypes because their archetypes are always where we come out of. It's the basis of something. It's a centered structure. It's something that has we've evolved from or work with. It's not something that really is changeable. It's something that is a basic, kind of like the grid work of the universe. It is basic, and the grid work is based on numbers. Everything, actually, when you come down to it, generates from numbers. And so when we take and we synthesize a person's date of birth and bring it down to a number and then associate it with a particular statement of consciousness and energy, we identify that as an archetype.
So if the archetype, I was born age 644.
Okay, let's look at that for a second.
Okay.
On the inner, the simple number to look at would be the number 6. Okay, there's two archetypes connected to every date of birth. The day that you're born is one number, and that would be a 6 in your case. By the way, happy birthday.
Thank you.
And let's see. So then we take and add the numbers together. So we have an 8 and a 6, and that it makes a 14, which when we take the 1 and the 4, that equals a 5. Okay? Then mm-hmm. We're going to take the 1 and the 9. And a little secret to numerology is anytime you add any number to 9, you get the originating number, okay? So we take the 1 and the 9, and you end up with a 10, which equals 1.
Right.
So we're going to add 1 to the 5, and we have 6 again. And then you said 44, right?
That's 1944.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we have 6 and 4 is 10 equals 1, and 1 and 4 is 5. So you are a 5 on the outer, you are a 6 on the inner. Okay? So now when we look at that, the 5 is an individual that I call, the archetype is the carrier of the staff of knowledge. You are an individual with a mind that is like a sponge. You can't get enough. You're constantly absorbing, absorbing. The day you leave the physical body, you'll still be absorbing. You will never get bored with the possibilities of thought, of what could be constructed, what can be learned.
Wow.
Who handles details tremendously well and can give that information back out. You can be a person who can work in engineering, in library work, in research, as a veterinarian. There are a whole list of things, a teacher, a mediator, an attorney. It goes on because you really are the energy of the mind, or the scribe, or the thinker, the philosopher.
I was a teacher for 7 years.
Well, it's very appropriate for your archetype. Now, there are huge challenges, too, with this archetype. And so a major challenge, the number one challenge with this archetype, is that you think so much that you chew on the ideas and you find yourself in states of worry.
Oh, yeah.
I call the 5 the number one warrior, because the 5 will take the past and drag it into the future, or they will take the future and just worry about what could possibly happen there. Either way, you're not living in the present moment, and that is the number one challenge of the 5, to learn to live here in the present. So when we understand that about you, we can work with you. Instead of someone who doesn't have any of that resonance of worry may have a hard time being around you because they don't relate to that. But when they understand that is part of your nature, your archetype is your nature, we're not going to take that out of you. Hopefully we can help you learn to live more in the present so that it doesn't bother you. It doesn't distract you from your creation. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it's perfect.
Okay. Well, let's look at the six. Okay?
Okay.
Six is an interesting number. I love the six. The six is a very upbeat individual. Six is a very happy number. I call the six the social butterfly. The one who will integrate with others. The one who can be a super networker and connector of other people. The one who throws the best parties, the eternal flirt. The individual who comes into life with a very positive outlook and loves the interfacing of people. So you're an individual who has a lot of abilities as a result of that six. You're someone who has the ability to connect others. Now, the challenge with the six has to do with choices. Sixes will bounce back and forth about the issue of commitment. What they find is when there's something that comes in front of them that says, here, make a commitment, say yes to this, there's a part of them that says, wait, if I say that, I give up some kind of freedom. I don't know if I want to do that. And so they bounce back and forth. And what they have to learn is to honor the choices they make and to come into balance with them and recognize that it is your attitude that creates freedom. It has nothing to do with where you are. Does that
attitude. Wow.
That makes
and I've always thought of myself individually as pretty much a one partnership kind of person.
Well, you may be. I mean, there may be other things, and that's great. As long as you don't feel a sense of loss, that's the huge thing with the six. The six usually goes back and forth, and they don't make commitments easily. In relationships, you may have done that, but in other areas, you may find that that's not the case.
Interesting. Let me back up and add this up again, because you're talking about an outer number and an inner number. How did we get the outer five?
The outer five is all of the digits added up together, the entire date of birth.
Okay.
And the inner number is simply the day that you're born.
Oh, that's the six. Okay.
Right. Right.
Oh,
and the
okay.
inner number is what people who are close to you see. The outer number, everyone sees.
Okay. So it's called an archetype. So really what we're working with here is an energy that's been created.
Mm-hmm. And it's part of the individual's nature. You also remember, as you go through life, you're working with a microcosm and a macrocosm, and there are whole cycles that we go through that connect to these different archetypes. When you were born, you came in on one particular archetype and passed through a number of years in that archetype and then moved on to another. That's the way we all do it. The most scarce of all the archetypes is the number two. It's fine on the inner, but on the outer it becomes somewhat rare. We had a whole century, actually, of twos, and they're about to disappear now on the outer.
Why is that happening?
And the two relates to the balance of the feminine, bringing the feminine forward. And so I think it's very interesting that it started in the early part of the 1900s, and has come to close to an end here in the early part of the 2000s. During that period, if you look at that period, women moved forward more so than they ever did in the history of the world. And
yes.
did the planet for the first time in the lifetime, it seems, of this entire planet, we started to realize that we are populating a sentient being and that we have to start to become responsible for what we do here. So both of these things really graduated during the period of time where two was an archetype on the outer, because many individuals came in with that number in order to help rebalance those issues, bring forward the feminine, Mother Earth, and the nature of the feminine, which is the intuitive nature, not just in women, but also in men. That's why I think you have a different approach to homosexuality at this point in time compared to where it was in, like, 1890. Part of the energy that changed.
What would you say, since we're losing our twos, Is it going to be hundreds of years before Tune comes back?
It is. It's about 500 years before it comes back.
500 years?
Mm-hmm. This time around, it's about 500 years.
What designates that? What creates
that? It actually has to do with the way our years are set up. It has to do with the date.
Okay, that makes sense.
It's really basic.
Okay, now...
For example, the year we're in right now, this is the year of 2008. This is a 1 year, or a year of 10. This is a year where communication becomes stronger than ever, where our ability to create or manifest what we really want is stronger than ever. It's the start of an entirely new cycle. And I think it's fascinating when we look at the United States, where we are in terms of a presidential race. This is a breakthrough. It's a huge change in the way that we've been doing things, right in the zone of a new cycle. Always fascinating. You can pull up any year in history where we've had a presidential race, and we could take a look at the number, and you'll see energies that are connected to how that will manifest. It's always fascinating to me.
We have archetypes. How does that relate to the tarot cards? I know it does. Don't the architects, aren't they associated with the major arcana?
Absolutely. The archetypes are connected directly to that. Well, see, the tarot, most people think it's just playing cards or fortune-telling, but it's not that at all. That's what people who do not understand it think of. It's actually pages right out of the Kabbalah. It represents the Tree of Life and the states of consciousness.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the first 22 cards are what are called the major arcana, or arcana, depending on who you are.
And what part of the country you
exactly.
live in.
I always give everybody freedom to express. And so when we look, the numbers are from the number 1 through the number 22. But the first 9 actually control all of those cards. And they are directly related to what I call the archetypes that we each experience.
Do angels have, are architects, the architectural energy associated with angels in any way? The individual?
Absolutely. There are angels connected to the archetypes. I can't sit here and tell you. I taught a class on that many years ago, but it's gone from my brain at this point in time. But, yes, there are angels connected to the archetypes, just as there are angels connected to the days of the week. If you identify the day that you were born out of the week, you can also connect to the direct archangel that directs that particular day. It has specific energy, and it's all very fascinating. You know, anyone born on Sunday is connected to Michael the Archangel. So they're individuals who are here. It's a very powerful statement in that they're individuals that are going to break through things. I think of him as like the bouncer. He bounces everybody out who doesn't belong there.
That's a good way to describe him.
So
excuse me.
Yeah, I love that movie, Michael, where she kept saying, and he smote or he smited. It was just great. That was a funny movie, Michael.
It was funny. He did it. Travolta did it.
Yes, it was very funny.
This is Elaine Ireland, and you're going global. Going Global for Spirit with Elaine Ireland on BBSRadio.com. My guest this evening is Michelle Avante. Excuse me, allergies, I think. Michelle was with us in June to introduce her book, Grihi, The Journey of Five Tales of Timur, Book 1. By the way, where is Book 2?
Well, it's coming out next year. We're expecting to go to print in February or early March.
I'm ready for it.
I know. A lot of people are asking for it, and I have some great news. I just got picked up by a publisher in Italy, so my book is going into Italian.
Oh, that will be such fun for them.
Yes, how great.
And I see that you promised us, as far as archetypes are concerned, Secrets of Wisdom out in August?
Yes, it's not here yet. I'm always overdoing it, it seems. I push myself to the nth degree. But I am really going to push to get that one out. As soon as MichelleAvante.com is up, we'll have the PDF file of that, at least the advanced reading copy of it will
be
available. That manuscript's been written for 12 years now. It's sitting on my desk.
Does it include the angel information?
No, but you know what? Maybe that's what it's waiting for. I have the ability to add that.
Please do.
You know what? When I get an ARC ready, I will send you a copy. I'll PDF it to you. And then you can tell me, Michelle, what about this? And if you give me input, we'll add.
Right now I'm asking for angel information.
Got it. Got it. I got it.
You know, the only other book that I knew of was Edwin Steinbrecher, The Inner Guide Meditation. Have you read that?
No, I haven't read it, but I have heard about it.
It's The Inner Guide Meditation, A Transformational Journey to Enlightenment and Awareness. And it has a section in here, and a very small section, I might add, about archetypes. And it's only like 4 pages.
Mm.
So although it's pretty in-depth, it's still, I'm glad you're writing a whole book. Now, there may be other books out there, folks. I don't know. If anybody knows of any other books written strictly about archetypes or something a lot more in-depth, please call in and tell us. In ancient Egypt, the archetypes were called netters, N-E-T-E-R-S, and were understood with a depth and sophistication that makes our current understanding seem naive. Had you heard that, the N-E-T-E-R-S?
I hadn't heard that, but, you know, I'm also a fixed-star astrologer, which there aren't very many of us on the planet. And fixed stars are based on the constellation-specific. So it's not just the 12 that are on the ecliptic that everybody knows, but rather all the constellations in the sky. And when you understand your connection to those, you also connect to particular archetypes that are in the stories of those constellations. And that's a whole other world. It's fantastically fascinating.
Is that in your book as well?
No, that's not in this book. That would take a whole separate book to write. It's the archetypes of the constellations. Most people, when they study astrology, don't study fixed star astrology. And yet, it is what is behind the astrological chart as we see it today.
So what most people are working with are the planets that move.
Right. Well, the ones that are on the ecliptic.
Yeah.
And what we have, I'll give you examples of how powerful these fixed stars are. And there's one that probably everybody out there has heard of, and it's called Algol. Algol is the star that shows a man in the sky holding the head of Medusa.
Oh, yes. Okay.
And he has a sword in one hand and the head he is holding in the other. And the star Algol is in the head of Medusa. So Algol is always connected with losing your head or having your head cut off. And that star, how active is this thing? Well, to give you an example, in the chart of what was the man who had the smoking glove, the man who everybody was watching on television for so many years? He is he was on trial for the killing of his wife. What's her name?
O.J. Simpson.
Yes.
O.J. Simpson.
He's a famous football player.
Yeah, O.J. Simpson.
There we go. O.J. Simpson.
Mm-hmm.
Well, his wife, the day she died, that star was activated in her chart. It was specifically in the chart from the moment of her birth, but it was tragically activated. Identical statement, Princess Diana, the day that she died, the activation of Algol was specific. And you couldn't miss it. If you're an astrologer of fixed stars, these things become very obvious. She broke her neck.
Yeah.
Everyone who has Algol in their chart does not mean they're going to have a tragic death. So I don't want anyone to jump to those kinds of conclusions. It has been noted, however, that having Algol in your chart, you have a strength and a passion that is driven in it's a feminine kind of passion that is a very strong drive to achieve something. And it would just depend on the rest of the mitigating factors of the chart to identify more about that. But there are charts I question, like Ruffian the horse. I don't know if you know who Ruffian is. A famous racehorse quite a few years back
I was going to say, that's a name from the past.
Yes, had a match race with Foolish Pleasure, I believe his name was. And in the race, this fantastic mare stretched so far, her passion was so great, she stretched so far she broke her legs.
Oh.
And they had to put her down.
I remember
very
that.
Very tragic, tragic experience.
Mm-hmm.
There is a statement of a six-star action. There was so much passion there. I would say some combination between Capella and Al Gold. Capella is another star in the sky. It is the charioteer. It is a woman who races the chariot in the sky. And she is this wonderful being who, if you have her in your charge, you can't help but love speed. Many of our athletes have Capella in their charge.
Where do we go to find out about more about fixed astrology?
Well, you can go on the internet and, you know, put in fixed stars and see what comes up. Bernadette Brady has written a wonderful book on fixed stars. I took her course, and that's where I got my certification. She gives a course on fixed stars.
What was her name again? I think I stepped on your words.
Bernadette Brady. And her book is called Brady's Book of Fixed Stars.
How original.
Yes, and she's out of, originally Australia, but she lives in England now. And there's also The Fixed Stars and Constellation in Astrology by Vivian Robson.
Is material out there.
Yeah, there are a few books, and the most famous book on fixed stars is by Eberton, and I tell all my students, you must have this book, even though Eberton wrote from the time of Hitler's time, and it was in Germany. So there's a lot of very tragic kinds of statements in this book. It is very, very accurate. And if you're a mundane astrologer, as I'm also a mundane astrologer, that's a person who takes a look at how are the planets affecting the world, the countries, the nations. And
with that in mind, have you done anything, any charts or any research for our election?
I did a couple of radio shows on it, actually. And I had told everybody that Obama would be the, if no one does any damage to him, because I saw some major, major events taking place.
Yeah, that's...
But so far, you know, a lot of prayers have gone up to protect this man, and he is a very smart man, so I'm very glad to hear that. That he should become president of the United States. There was no question when you compare the three charts that were in the running at the time I did this show. Four charts. I included Romney at the time, Mitt Romney. But there was no question Obama's chart could square out the other charts. There's no question about it. What he does, what his chart says, to the chart of the United States of America is exhilarating. It's literally exhilarating. The sun, his sun, comes to the midheaven of the American chart. We haven't had a president like that. I haven't looked at Abraham Lincoln's to see how his set, but to have the sun come to the midheaven is a statement that says this man can reestablish our image in the world. Bring light and bring success again in the public's eye to this nation. And I think that's awesome.
If we can just keep him protected the whole time.
Yes, I think we have to. Franklin Delano Roosevelt's chart, he brought the sun into the bottom of the chart. Instead of at the very top of the chart, at the very bottom of the chart, in the third house. And he certainly helped reestablish a faith in the homeland, in the people. And he did it from a closed space, which is why it would be at the bottom of the chart. But he also uplifted the nation, because anytime you put the sun on the axis, we call that the axis, the two lines that cross in the center of a chart, when you put the sun on that axis, on that vertical axis, you activate a very strong statement for the nation that has the ability to bring success and repair. So I do make a comparison there with Franklin Delano Roosevelt, although I do believe Obama has the ability to do more than FDR did. And
yes,
certainly he's coming into a fascinating time. This presidential election, he will become, if indeed he is elected to president of the United States, he will be the 44th president of the United States. 44 is an enormously important number. Matter of fact, it's the number of my book, Greehey, The Journey of Five. Greehey is a 44. 44 is a number of taking the four corners of the universe and bring them into perfect balance again. The four corners being the four elements, being the four parts of who we are. It's aligning, again, control of ourselves instead of control of others. Bringing into balance, because the 44 also becomes an 8, it is bringing also into balance the karmic relevance of the time, the karmic issues of the time. So, and it's a respect for others. It's the patriarch. The 44 is the patriarch. The patriarch who is kind and considerate and understands that being in control of oneself is what we must do, and then teach others how to be in control of themselves. So it's a huge number and a huge cycle we're coming into.
A big responsibility.
It's enormous responsibility. There's no question about it. We've never had a 44th president before, so we can't go back and say, well, this is what happened last time. There is no 44th. There's only one 44th president.
This is Going Global for Spirit with Elaine Ireland. My guest tonight is Michelle Avante, and we're talking about archetypes. We got kind of into numerology, which is where our conversation has gone right now, but please call in. We would love to have your comments, your questions. Worldwide, your phone number is 877-489-6350. If you live in the United States or Canada, please call on line 1-888-228-4494. Welcome all kinds of questions, comments about anything, numerology, astrology, because we're touching it. Michelle is touching it tonight. You said something a while ago about the energy being embedded and maybe needing to change it. If we needed to change something, how do we become aware of that, and then how do we change it if it's embedded, if we've gone through several lifetimes with it?
Well, you know, that's the whole thing. The miracles that take place are an awareness. When we become aware of something, then we have complete freedom to make a change. That's consciousness. You can go through a lifetime never realizing that others are not responsible for you, that you are responsible for you. You can go through many, many, many lifetimes like that. And then one day you realize that, you know what, I think I have some power here that I'm not seeing. And we start to take self-responsibility. Embedded means that that is part of the nature that we've carried for a long time. And it's just a matter of becoming aware. That's why I think understanding your archetype is an enormous step. For example, the four, we'll go to the four because we were talking 44. The four is an individual who is, I call them the patriarch. They're the individual who comes in frequently not knowing that they are supposed to give other people the freedom to have control in their own lives. They have sharp thinking minds. They make decisions very rapidly. If you teach them something, if we went into a second grade class, we could pick out all the fours in a few seconds, because while the teacher is telling you, now we're going to do a pumpkin, they would be immediately drawing the pumpkin before she's even finished talking. They take information very quickly, and then they act on it very quickly. So they have a hard time watching other people do things poorly or slowly. And because of that, they always tend to want to take the job away from the other and not delegate, but rather do it for them or do it to them, which either way, that's a bad statement. We're not supposed to tell others exactly how to do something. We are supposed to give them opportunity to put the pieces together so they experience themselves. And that's a huge lesson for the four. so if you know some people in your world who tend to be very controlling, they're probably fours. And they're here to learn that that is not what you do with all that wonderful talent that you have, but rather you have to learn to let others do it their way. And it's a lesson of mastery. The spiritual masters, all of them can do things much better than you or I can, but they don't. They don't step in and say, well, excuse me, Michelle, let me help you here. Let me do this for you. Sometimes I'd like them to.
Amen.
But yeah, they won't. They simply will not, because that's a breaking of the spiritual law. The law of non-interference is the most basic of all the laws on this planet or in this universe. So what the four is trying to do is learn to master that, learn to step back and let others do. And that's not always easy to do. You can have someone in your life that you love dearly, and you watch them just digging a hole, and you watch them doing things that you know are not good for them. But you, if you step in, you're actually going to injure them. All you can do is stand by and keep your hand extended and say, when you're ready, I'm here. That's what the spiritual masters do with all of us.
Whether we realize it or not.
Yes. They're always waiting there with their hand extended saying, this is the path. This is the easiest road. Take my hand and I will give you direction. They won't do for you, but they will give you direction. And then it's up to you to follow it.
Sometimes it's hard to sense what direction. It's hard to, even in deep meditation, it's almost like the red arrow goes a different way, and I go, is that red arrow meant for me? Sometimes it's real hard to figure out what they want us to do.
There are a couple of different experiences that can really catch us, and one of them is where we come to a crossroads in our lives, and there's lots of options. And really, it's a period where Spirit is saying, well, you have lots of options. You can choose. You're free to choose. And it's not like you have to do any of them. Your choice. And if you're a person who's been a caregiver, a person who has been here serving most of your life, when you come to that kind of crossroads, you stand there and you go, well, I don't know. I don't know what to do. Someone tell me. And they back away because this is your moment of choice. So sometimes we just don't even realize we have the freedom to choose. And then there are other times where we just want something so bad that we become so emotionally concerned with the outcome that we simply cannot, no matter how hard they try to tell us which is the best direction, we can't hear them. We're too emotionally driven. And so I think those are two major events that take place in everybody's lives where we kind of get stuck. Other times life runs kind of smooth and you are getting direction, don't even realize you're getting it. You don't even realize you're following it. It's that smooth, and that's the way it's supposed to be. You shouldn't be so concerned that you are trying hard to hear. Because when you do that, you actually close the door. It's kind of like the person who doesn't realize the third eye doesn't open outward, it opens inward.
Ooh.
So push as hard as you can to get out to find out what they want to give you, and you're missing the point. Simply turn around.
You know, I don't think, I agree with you. I had this discussion just a couple of nights ago with one of my psychic development students. Talking about the third eye, because in pictures, it typically shows, when you look at chakras, it typically shows the third eye as being a light coming out.
The light does come out, but the door opens in.
Right.
No question the light comes out.
Right.
Because the energy, the crown chakra brings in the energy. It's not the third eye that brings in the energy. We emit the light from the third eye.
But almost everything I've ever read does not say what you're saying. Not talk about the inner light and the inner doors that are supposed to open. They talk about all this glowing business especially I'm using chakras as an example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there is this glowing business. I don't disagree with that. But I think that what happens is when people get stuck, they create that door. I don't believe there are doors. I believe we create doers. So I think what you're saying is absolutely true. It's the paradoxes of the lower world that can catch you, because yes and no are frequently the answer to whatever the question is. We have the ability to create both sides of that door. We can create it or not.
Let me get back to archetypes, because I think it's real. You've opened some doors for me this evening. And I have a feeling that we're not getting many calls because people are fascinated with what we're talking about or what you're talking about. I think this, the understanding of the archetypal energy, since it's not a thing, it's an energy, which to me is a thing, is only part, but seems to be a huge part of understanding who we are. And since it's such a fixed and easy way of looking, with you take your day that you're born, in my case was the 6th, that's your inner, and then you do the typical adding up of all of the numbers, including your day, that gets your outer, and then you learn about those numbers. And once you do that, then you can understand yourself a little bit better and understand those around you. And we kind of flipped over that a minute ago, 2 or 3 times, but I think that's really important, like looking at a numerology chart or an astrology chart. You get that information and you go, aha, that's why. But this, really understanding that archetypal number, that really narrows it down.
Oh, it makes it so simple. That's why I wrote the book that that will get published here in time. That's why I wrote it, because anyone can read the book. It's designed as a handbook that you can carry in your purse when you go to work and you go, what is wrong with that person? You can go at lunch and you can open up the book and you can figure out, all you have to do is know their birthday, and you can go, oh my gosh, now I understand. And it gives you freedom to be able to look at the person and not be judgmental of them. That is the thing we have to learn not to do. We have to learn to honor our differences, to help each other through our states of consciousness, not to hinder or to say, oh, that is wrong. There is nothing that's wrong. There are just lessons, and there are states of consciousness that sometimes people are so caught up in that they don't even know how to free themselves from. So I that's why I've written this booklet. It's not a huge book. It's a very easy book. It's an easy read, because I want everyone to be able to discover that basic nature. You know, I've done probably 15,000 of these archetypes with people. And out of all of them, I probably had 3 people who didn't fit. And every one of those 3 people were past the age of 80. They had learned to go beyond their archetype completely. And I just think that is fantastic. We all need to go beyond.
And that's part of that embedding thing. They just got past it.
Exactly. They'd say, oh, well, that's not me. And I'd say, well, were you like that when you were young? And every one of them said yes.
It's called wisdom. That's why the name of your book, Secrets of Wisdom.
Yes, Secrets of Wisdom. We'll get it out one of these days in the near future. Maybe I'll just get out some advanced reading copies in PDF, because it's been written. It was written 12 years ago. My nephew, 12 years ago, said, Aunt Michelle, and he at the time, he's like 22 now, so he was just a young man. He was 10 years old. He read it, and he said, Aunt Michelle, I need 5 copies of this right now to give to all my friends.
See? And right now, with so many changes going on in our world, and people are really, really pushing to understand one another, accept one another, accept each other's differences, now's a great time to have this book out.
Yes, yes, I'll get it out. I have a lot on my plate, but that's coming up. I even have the cover of it. I have a fantastic artist who designed a cover for it. We hired her for the cover 2 years ago. I have the cover in my closet.
Michelle?
Just Spirit wanted a greenie out first.
Yeah, Spirit will tell us what to do and when to do it. But now this living, breathing Spirit is telling you, get the book out.
Yeah.
This is Michelle Avante. She's a guest with Elaine Ireland. You're listening to Going Global for Spirit with Elaine Ireland on BBSRadio.com. Our worldwide number, 877-489-6350. If you live in the United States or Canada, please use number 1-888-228-4494 with your questions and comments. We're talking about archetypes, one of the many, many subjects that Michelle Avante can share with us. You're going to be back. I have you down for October the 16th.
Yes.
And we're going to talk about why does evil exist?
I think that's an excellent topic, and it's certainly one worthy to speak of.
Tell the folks how they can find you, how they can reach you.
Astrologyandmore.com. You just write out the whole thing, Astrologyandmore. And you can send me an email at gmail.com. So it's astrologyandmore@gmail.com. Or you can call 541-863-6631.
Do you have any lectures or classes coming up outside of where?
Well, I've been planning a seminar that was supposed to take place in Arizona in early October, but we're going to probably postpone it till January. So I'll have to let you know in October when it's going to be. But it's a really exciting seminar we're going to do in Cave Creek at a bird rescue. Amazing venue. I only pick absolutely exceptional places. And it's about coming to terms, understanding the subconscious beliefs that you have and how to step beyond them so you can have what you really want in your life. You know, many people will do affirmations for years but never get to where they need to go.
Yes.
And it's subconscious beliefs that hold you back.
I think that's part of the problem with The Secret. You know, The Secret, I'm sure you've heard of it. I mean, you probably read it. I keep getting information about the secret of The Secret and why The Secret doesn't work, and a big part of it is the subconscious thing.
Absolutely. I'm also an emotional freedom technique practitioner, and when you do EFT, that is the first thing that we work with. We call it a reversal. A person can stand there and tell you, I want to be well, I want to be well, I want to be well, but they're not doing anything to get well. They're actually have a subconscious reason why they don't want to be well. And when we work with them with EFT, we bring that to the surface. It doesn't mean they'll get well because they may never let go of that subconscious reason, but at least they'll understand it.
And is part of that, can we find that in these archetypal numbers, that kind of information?
You can find issues of stubbornness or issues of attachment, but I think people become can personalize it to more varied degrees. The archetypes are more widespread, and they'll show you what the energies are that you work with and where you may be hard-headed, but then you apply it. And that has to do with environment, that has to do with social upbringing, it has to do with a lot of things. You know, my mother, I give my mom as an example, she's long gone now, but as a child she had a disease, she had rheumatic fever, and when she had rheumatic fever her whole world changed. Everyone in her family was suddenly there to look after her, and she had her own tutor, and they took her to Italy, and all these wonderful things happened to her because she was sick and nearly died. As a result of that, later in life, when she came across a situation that she didn't know how to break through, subconsciously she became ill, and she chose illness. And then she discovered that she couldn't seem to break free of it, and she didn't know how. She didn't know how to let go of that subconscious belief that was set in as a child that said, if you become ill, all things will be given to you. And, you know, if she were alive today, I'd be able to help her break through that, because with EFT you can. But, of course, she's long gone. That's why I think we have so many incredible miracles taking place with consciousness today. It's moving so rapidly. We're discovering so many means to release ourselves from blocks that have been there for centuries. It's a wonderful time.
A lot of knowledge, common knowledge, I think my grandmother would call it, common knowledge. I'd hear her say that all the time. Well, it's common knowledge, this or that, this or that. And our growth, our spiritual growth. You know, at 64 years old, I can look back just in the Austin area. When I came back here, late 20s, early 30s, we had, I can name on one hand the amount of public psychics, people who were known would hang a shingle.
Mm-hmm.
There was one organization. That's it. That's 40-some-odd years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Now Austin is a mecca of metaphysical teachings of all kinds. And it's not just Austin.
Mm-hmm.
It's all over the United States. You know, when somebody would call me and say, well, I live in Arizona. Do you know if there's anybody here? I might be able to find one or two people in the entire state of Arizona that would publicly stand up and say, I do psychic readings.
Mm-hmm.
Trance work was just a beginning kind of thing. Meditation was something that we had. Transcendental meditation, remember that one?
Oh, I remember.
Right, that was the precursor for everything that we do now.
Mm-hmm.
Just
oh,
in
I know.
40 years, it's just been an amazing boom.
Yeah, it is. I remember in 1967 and 68 when the spiritual beings came across to many, many people all over the planet.
Mm-hmm.
Through the dream state, and ask them, step up to the light, be noted, because we need to rebalance the planet.
Yes,
and I remember, again, at the time of the harmonic convergence, just before it, they asked for more. Another 1,000 were to step forward. And we've seen this huge, huge expansion take place where consciousness opens up, and people are becoming more and more aware that they have the power, and that's the thesis that I don't have written yet, called The Magic. You are the magic.
And we're going to have to come back, have you back and talk about the children that are coming in, the Indigo kids, the Crystal kids, the Rainbow kids, all kids that are coming in. We're going to have to do a show on that sooner or later.
Cool. Well, you know, I wrote a chapter in Dr. Doreen Virtue's book, The Care and Feeding of Indigo Children, many years ago, so I have a little input there.
There are the kids are just amazing, and I'm thinking that they're reincarnations of some of the people that left us in the last probably 40 years or less that are coming back to pick up again and to continue and use physically what they've learned on the other side. I've read for some kids lately that I just melt when I look in their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Their knowledge is just phenomenal, and they're coming back with it. I really believe to share. Let's get back to our archetypes. We're going to run out of time in a few minutes. So, what else would you like to share with us about archetypes?
Well, I could see if I could go rapidly through some of the numbers, because I know there are people who are listening who might be, for example, a 7. I find that certain numbers do run together, and in relationship situations, there are better combinations and not such good combinations. For example, the number 1 is a very, very strong archetype. It's an individual who's reincarnated many times and has manifested many things and is an incredibly strong individual. When we have a woman who's a 1 and she's married to a man who's a 6, you have a not such a good combination. Or we have a man who's a 1 and a woman who's a 1, it can work if they are both in alignment with the types of goals that they have. If not, the man will do his best probably to stay above the woman. We have that patriarchal issue that still is carrying. It's waning now, which is good, but it carried for an awfully long time. So the 1 is a great manifester. The 2 is what I call the dream weaver, an individual who has strong intuition and should become very aware of their dream state and can use the dream state to manifest whatever they want in their lives, more so than the rest of us, although everyone can do that. So there are individuals who have to keep their dream state alive. If they've shut it down, they need to open it back up because their power is there. The 3 is the feminine energy. It's the Gaia energy, the mother energy. I call it the keeper of the hearth. They're the individual who has to be careful not to become the caretaker or the martyr, even worse yet, the martyr, because they have such a loving, nurturing energy that they will go out of their way to take care of others, and it's almost like they're wearing a little light on their head that says, come to me, I'll take care of you. And people do come to them, and they have to learn not to become such a caretaker, and that their big warning signal is when they start saying, I can't because. That's a warning. Stop. Stop yourself now, because you need to change your language and you need to take better care of you. The four we talked about, the five we talked about, the six we talked about, the seven is a speedo. I call them the major risk takers. They're the people who I call the travelers. They're individuals who love to travel. They love to move. They're individuals who get more speeding tickets than everybody else, and they take more risks than everybody else. But they're also here to experience change, and as souls, they come in to experience change. So there may be times where they think, I want to have a simple life. Well, yeah, they're never going to do that, because it's not really what they came here for. The eight is a balancer and a beautifier, and comes to beautify the world, whether through the arts or whether through mediation or communication or consulting. They are fantastic balancers, and they have to be careful not to give away their power, because they want so much to bring things into harmony that they forget to take care of themselves. The nine is a highly intuitive individual. I call them the bridge between heaven and earth. And really, they are kind of loners. They don't need a lot in life to be happy. Yeah, but they have to take time to regenerate by themselves. So wonderful intuitive people.
Number nines. I like that.
Oh, that kind of gives you a quick rundown.
That's a very quick rundown. I just got a beep in my ear, so that tells me that I need to bring our show to an end, but I hope people will contact you and go on your website and learn more about archetypes. I certainly have taken tons of notes tonight. Thank you. Thank you very much for your time and your knowledge and sharing it with us. And remember, folks, you'll be back October the 16th for Why Does Evil Exist? And also have you some schedule, I think, one more time after that. But nonetheless, Michelle Avante, and please read her book, Grehe, Grehe, The Journey of Five, Tales of Tamur, Book One. It's a fun thing. And we're going to be looking for your book about archetypes coming out soon. I hope you get this done. Secrets of Wisdom, be looking for that, folks. Thank you so much, Michelle, for being with me again. I really enjoy it. Really, really enjoy your time.
I'm so honored. Thank you so much for having me.
And we'll look forward to October. In the meantime, world, thank you for having been with us. BBSRadio.com. You've gone global for spirit this evening with Elaine Ireland and Michelle Avante. Don't forget to share a smile this week with someone. Take care. Hugs, everybody. Good night.